Morning, Columbia Grove. Welcome. Come on in. Well, now that you're inside the building, the first thing you're going to come to is this table. At this table, you'll get one of our communion cups. You'll also find some of our Love Like Jesus paraphernalia. Please feel free to take this with you. And also, you'll be smelling some wonderful coffee and some goodies. So as you enter the building, on your left, my right, and feel free to grab a cup of coffee and a goodie. If you're a guest today, welcome. Love for you to go to our website, columbiagrove.org. You'll find a tab there that says, I'm new. If you put in your name and an email address, they'll trigger a $5 donation to a local charity, and you'll get one email a week from us, our weekly newsletter. If you're here in the building, you want some help with that, feel free to find me after the service, and we'll walk you through it here on our computer pad. We have a prayer team that would love to pray with you and to pray for you. If you're online, just type in the words prayer call. One of our online pastors will be reaching out to you. If you're here in the building, along the back wall on the south side, you'll see our prayer station where somebody will be back here and would love to pray with you. And always remember, what's prayed there stays there. Well, that's it for now. It's time to worship.
Well, good morning and welcome to worship. And for those of you out in the foyer, come on in. For those of you who are online, thanks for joining us. And for everyone, let's stand. Let's join together in song. This is an oldie, but a goodie. One, two, three, four. Works best if you do this.
And grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
Take it to the Lord in prayer and let's bless his name.
my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name.
Just sing it out to him.
Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I'll keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end is near and my time has come, still my soul flows on unending. 10,000 reasons and forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. His holy name, I'll worship your holy name, I'll worship your holy name.
Well, good morning. Please have a seat. Let's open our service up with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you that your name is great and your heart is kind. So, Lord, let this place be just filled with your praise, with your worship, with your honor. And Lord, from wherever we come from this past week, you know, whether it's this week has felt like a week of victory or a week of defeat, or from any just somewhere in between, Lord, thank you that you're here with us. And we just pray that you would tell us and say to us the things that you want to say. Fill us in the ways that you want to fill us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. My name is Andrew. If we haven't met yet, I'm the senior pastor here and just thrilled to have you here and joining us for worship, whether it's in person or online. I know it is a busy weekend. This was an Eastmont grad last night, so we've got a number of our teens that are with that. And my wife and oldest daughter are actually over on their way over to Shoreline, where Elizabeth's named Max. His graduation is this afternoon. So it's a busy time. And you made time. And you made time to worship. And that's no small thing. So thank you for that. I want to invite Heather to come up. Heather is our children's ministry director to lead our kids in a time of prayer for our kids. Now, what are you guys doing in children's church today, Heather?
Today, we are learning about the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
Yes. So this whole month has been a theme on taking the different commandments. And today, we have some fun stuff planned back there. And we have some live music coming at us. And so we're just building our foundations with our Ten Commandments today.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Would you pray for our kids?
Of course.
All right.
Father, we just thank you that we are able to worship freely, and we just thank you for our volunteers that are pouring into our children, and thank you that it's the community is coming together, the community of the church, and we just thank you for the children that are here, and we ask that you open their hearts and their minds and their ears to listen and to hear your word, and we ask that you just bind it to their little hearts, and we just thank you for your love and your grace and your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Heather. Thanks, Heather. So a little reminder, they've got connection cards in the seats in front of you. That's a great way to give feedback, whether that's things like, hey, here's my favorite song, or hey, I'd love to serve in this area, or hey, have you thought about, it's a great way to do that. And then there's offering baskets around the room, and just drop them in one of those offering baskets. We'll make sure to get that feedback. But anyways, this is the time in the service where we take some time to greet one another. We'll put a few social media greetings up on the screen. I've seen folks are joining us from, like, Charlie's joining us from Arizona and a bunch of other cool stuff. But also this time to greet one another just live. Go and shake somebody's hand. Give somebody a fist bump. Let somebody know that you're glad to see them. And we're going to jump back. Sing another kind of Christian classic, but maybe in a way that you haven't heard it before. At least it's kind of fun. We've got a little bit of reggae, a little bit of jazz bass happening here.
Saying each man's pride, and they'll know we are Christians by by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Come, all praise to Christ Jesus, only Son, and all praise in the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Please have a seat, and I want to invite Brian to lead us in the time of congregational prayer.
Good morning. I'm Brian Adelman, and it's my pleasure and also an honor to help lead you and myself in the congregational prayer today. Will you pray with me, please? Jesus, you are the beginning and the end. You're the everlasting, the infallible, the impeccable. You are the judge and our king. Jesus, you are perfect, holy, mighty, and powerful. You are the righteous and our redeemer and victorious over all things. Lord, we approach you today in awe and wonder. Lord, we approach you as you are our king and our Lord. Lord, we'd ask that you calm our spirits, set aside those worldly things to allow us to focus on you. Lord, your word and your light. Lord, we ask that the Spirit dwells in this house and comes and bees with each of us. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, just for the beauty of springtime, all the new life around us. As we think about that, let us think about that it's also a time for us individually to grow in you. Not only individually, Lord, but corporately. You know, how are we as a church? What's our responsibility? How are we going forward? What is your call to us during this crazy time that we've been through? Lord, we seek direction. Lord, we seek your will in everything that we do. Our Father, our God, let us find happiness in our love for you, for our love towards each other. Let our lives, our words, our deeds bring the joy and happiness of the Lord in Jesus to each we meet day by day. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray for our government leaders, both local, state, and national. Lord, you know our hearts. We pray for peace. Lord, we ask for wisdom for the leaders, for good decisions and discernment being made in the best interests of all. Lord, we pray for our peacekeepers, for the police officers, especially for the police officer that was shot in Wenatchee last week, for his physical and mental healing, and also prayers for the family and the loss of the young man who was shot as they deal with that tragedy. Lord, we ask that you help us to be good stewards of this land. Lord, we step outside this building and we see just the wondrous beauty of the mountains and this valley as it's in bloom and in green. And Lord, let us remember that that is all because of you and all of your making. Lord, for the people of Ukraine, we ask that you guard their innocent lives and protect them. Stop the invaders, strengthen the people, give them hope, give them just a light to be able to focus on during this dark time. Lord, just ask that you give special blessings to those missionaries working there. Specifically, I pray for Alex today as he is in the middle of the fight. And he's doing all that in your name. And Lord, just protect him and keep him. Because of his goodness, Lord, let us reflect his light and dark in this hurting world. Let us be a light individually and as a church, a light for the hurt, for the lost and the lonely, for those who are on the margins of society, the refuge, the immigrant, the hungry, the persecuted, the defenseless, poor, unborn, and the elderly. Lord, we pray for our missions around the world, both missionaries, church leaders, evangelists. I personally pray for my friend and Kathy's friend, Pastor Ruben in Mexico, and his family and their congregation. Also pray for Victor Dedalia in India for the outreach and as he reaches tens of thousands of people. Lord, for the Covenant Church Missionary Radio team at Life Radio, we ask that you continue to pray for them, that the message would continue to go on, that the people of Ukraine would be able to hear your word. For the people of Poland, as they have been inundated with so many immigrants and have done it gracefully and have done it individually, taking people into their homes. Lord, we pray for Naniwa, the daughter of Pastor James Tang, who is serving with the Covenant Church in South Sudan, that she would return home after going missing. Lord, within this church, there are those who are hurting, who are lonely and sick, struggling marriage, struggling against addictions, unemployed, and asking for direction in their lives. We ask for more of you and less of us. Let you, Lord, be our counselor and our guide and our redeemer in and through all things. And Lord, we pray for our church specifically. We pray for the Cooper family as they grieve the passing of Darren, with Barb McArdle and family as they grieve the passing of Tim, with a memorial service that will be today, with the Greenwood family's friend Jake as he recovers from a serious vehicle accident. And also pray for Kathy and my son and daughter-in-law Shauna as they've suffered basically another punch in the gut. Give them hope, give them strength, and give them you. Now, if we'll all lift our praises and our prayers to you at this time. Lord, we pray for our openness to God's word as it's presented today by Andrew. Let your words guide Andrew as he teaches. Holy Spirit, come. Come join us. Dwell in us. Dwell in this place. Let your words be Andrew's and let your spirit shine through him this day. And finally, as it's written in Nahum 1, it says, the Lord is good. He is a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him. Lord, you are good. You are our refuge in time of trouble. Let us trust you because you do care. He cares for you and me. He calls us by name. Thank you, Lord, for caring so much that you gave your life so that we may be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much, Brian. Right, you got your little tail there. There we go. See, isn't he doing a good job? He's stepping in, doing some worship leading. Good stuff. Okay, very important question. I need your eyes. Who here likes pie? Yeah? Cherry pie? If you've got a favorite, stick your hand high. Cherry pie? Apple pie. Apple pie, pretty high. Okay, I'm going to get a little more controversial here. Mincemeat. Oh, yeah. I know. So you can boo out loud if you have to. That's all right. I like mincemeat pie. Key lime pie. Lemon meringue pie. Blackberry pie. Blueberry pie. Pie. Yes, please. That is the answer. I don't know many people that don't like pie. But there are different types of pie. Now, when I said pie, you probably thought of this kind of pie. right? This kind of pie. It's just pie. Some sort of fruit something or other pie. How many of you thought about this kind of pie? You did? Yeah, do you like pie? I barely understand pie. I understand pie enough to make it through high school. That is about it. And hopefully, none of you have enjoyed this kind of pie. I have nothing against it. Apparently, it's necessary, but it is not good eating. That's all I know. So there's different types of pie. So when you hear the word pie, you might make associations with your favorite kind of pie, but there are actually different categories of pie. Now, the reason I brought that up, in addition to wanting to talk about pie, is that one of the words that we love the most, and one of the concepts that, especially as Americans, we value the highest, is a word that actually has a number of different definitions, depending on what category you're thinking of. And that word is freedom. Now, as Americans, we deeply value freedom, are deeply enshrined in the Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom and what freedom truly means. What are the limits to our freedom? Whose life, whose liberty, whose happiness are we pursuing? These are issues that, as you well know, are being hotly debated in culture. So whether that is freedom as gets expressed by the maybe concerns about vaccine mandates, or freedom and the consequences and responsibilities of freedom that in the last couple of weeks now, as issues like abortion are coming to the surface again, what are their limits to our personal rights? Whose life, whose liberty, whose freedom? So these issues, they're hot topics. The room got real quiet. Did you notice that? Really, really hot topics. And they're really important topics. They truly are. One thing that I think, and this is this, and I didn't plan to land on this passage on this week. I mean, as I was planning the series in the book of Galatians several months ago, wanting to talk about what it means to be part of the local church and what it means for freedom in Christ and things like that, one of the habits that we need to get good at as Christians is that when we hear a word, freedom, we hear conversations about freedom, there's an important question we need to learn how to ask, and it's this. What type of freedom are we talking about? What category of freedom are we talking about? Because there is a difference between what we often think of as American freedom, quote-unquote, and freedom in Christ. Now, the two, there's, of course, plenty of areas of compatibility. You could probably argue very effectively that it's our freedom in Christ and the biblical concept and philosophical structures of valuing the individual that we find in the New Testament, that we find in those ancient concepts of freedom in Christ that made possible American freedom. It's on the bedrock of Christian philosophy that our democracy was birthed, and yet they are different things. So there's compatibility, there is some overlap, but they are nonetheless very different categories. What type of freedom are we talking about? And the reason why I think we need to get good at this habit is because, you know, when we just hear freedom, if we put it all into the same bucket, then we are prone as Christians to get our definitions of Christian freedom confused with American freedom. Both matter. Both are very important, both must be valued, both must be understood, but they are different categories. And if we're not careful, somebody can use a word like freedom, and it can be used to manipulate us as Christians. Every political movement would love to have the church on its side. Have you noticed this? So what I want to do today is not so much to go into a deep dive into American freedom. There's plenty of other places where that's being discussed. And there's plenty of people who are far more qualified than me to talk about it. But what I do hope we'll do today is do a really deep dive into Galatians chapter 5 and this deeply important concept of Christian freedom. What is Christian freedom? What does it mean to be free in Christ? Where does it come from? How does it work? What does it lead toward? So I urge you, have your Bibles open so you can find a paper Bible. If you didn't bring one, we've got Bibles all around the building. Amazingly enough, you could find one. Or you open up your phone and you got the YouVersion app and you shut down TikTok and you open up the Word of God. Because here's the thing, is we want to make certain as Christians, our worldview, how we view the world around us, is shaped first and foremost by the Word of God, rather than culture. We want the Word of God to be the lens through which we make decisions. The Word of God. That's why one of the foundational questions we even have rallied around as a church and as a denomination is this question: where is it written? So let's deep dive into Galatians chapter 5 and take a look at where is it written. You with me? You're not sure yet. I know. Okay. Hang on tight. Just settle your heart a little bit, but let's make certain that we are open. We are open to what God's word has to say about freedom so we can understand Christian freedom so that we don't get manipulated, so we don't get taken off track, so we don't find ourselves fearful in places where we need not be fearful, or find ourselves complacent in areas where we need to be diligent. Galatians chapter 5. You got it? You found it? Okay. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Here's the foundation, and then we're going to start reading. We're going to then go further, verses 13 through 26. But here's Galatians 5, 1. I'll put it at the lower part of the screen because I want to keep this verse up for a while so we can really understand this really important concept. Galatians 5, 1. It is for freedom that, what's the name? Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Let's read that together out loud again, okay? It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Okay. So here's the first foundational concept. Who sets us free? Christ. Christ sets us free. And if Christ has set us free by his finished work on the cross, we'll talk more about that in a moment. If Christ is the one who has already set us free, can anybody else take it away from you? The freedom we have in Christ is a freedom that is not fragile. Some president can't take it away, whether current or past or future. An act of Congress cannot take away our freedom in Christ. Because who gave it to us? Christ. A change in the laws can't take away our freedom in Christ. Even, God forbid, an invading army could not take away our freedom in Christ. Because it was given by Christ. And it's the result of his finished work on the cross. It's already done. Now, our freedom cannot be taken away from us, but it can be forsaken by us. Right? Stand firm then. And do not, what's the word? Let. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Our freedom in Christ is not fragile, but it can be forsaken. We can be free and yet act and live as though we weren't. We can be free and yet functionally still enslaved. Do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Now let's jump up to verse 13. Because here it helps us to understand not only who set us free, but why we were set free. Okay? Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not let or do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. We'll talk about more about the biblical definition of the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So where does our freedom come from? It comes from Christ. And who is our freedom? What is the purpose of our freedom? What are we supposed to do with our freedom if we are exercising our freedom well? We're supposed to serve. So your freedom is for you, and yet you are not the only beneficiary of your own freedom. Freedom in Christ exercised well will result in good things happening to other people and not just you. Verse 14. Sorry, excuse me. I've tried to hit my mute button before I did that. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. We'll talk a bit more about that in a minute. For the flesh, desires what is contrary to the Spirit. So flesh versus spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another. So that you do not do whatever you want. So that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So let's do a little bit of fill in the blanks here so we can understand Christian freedom well. Now, this could be a great place to take notes, by the way. So you've got those connection cards in front of you? You could take one of those and you could write on the back of those. We'll print more. It's fine. So, I am set free from. What am I set free from? Slavery, yeah. Lord, the law, that's right. I am set free from, here's the first thing I'm set free from. I am set free from the requirements of the Old Testament law. If you're filling in the blank, I'm set free from the requirements of the Old Testament. You know, a few pens are moving. That's pretty encouraging. I'm set free from the requirements of the Old Testament law. Now, does that mean that the Old Testament laws, like the Ten Commandments that they're learning in children's church, no longer apply? They're no good? Those laws are broken? They're horrible? No. Those laws still apply. They're still good. This is still guidelines that God gave the human race for human flourishing. The laws are great. The laws aren't broken. We are. I am. All of the Old Testament laws, the Ten Commandments and all the rest, there's nothing wrong with them. Those are good ways to live. The problem is I cannot live up to all of them, nor can you. And so thank God that the Lord sent Jesus to fulfill the requirements of the Old Testament law. It's not to do away with the law, it's to fulfill the law. I don't meet the standards of God's righteousness. That doesn't mean that the standard doesn't go away. It means that someone has come to help me meet those standards of righteousness, to meet those standards of righteousness on my behalf, on your behalf. Thank God, our righteousness from God is given to us through Christ, because of Christ, as a gift. Yeah? Yeah. I am set free by. What are you set free by? The Lord. That's right. Or if you're filling in the blanks, here's one way you could put that. I am set free by the finished work of Christ on the cross. That Jesus took all of human sin on himself and had it die with him. All of the righteous requirements of God that I could not meet, that you could not meet, that I could never meet, Jesus met those for me. Jesus took the penalty for my sin. Jesus took all of my shortcomings and he killed them as he himself gave his life. I am set free by Jesus' finished work on the cross. What he has already done. I am set free to. Can you remember what we're set free for? What am I set free for? What are you set free for? That's right. I'm set free to serve others humbly in love. That's the purpose of my freedom. That's how good Christian freedom will be exercised. By lives in service. They will know we are Christians by our tweets, obviously. By your Facebook post. And if you love Jesus, you're going to send this to everyone. I realize it's guilt-laden. And I realize this is the most barbarous language I can come up with. But you got to share it with everyone. No, you don't. You don't. But there's another thing that I'm set free from. The second thing this passage reminds us of, tells us about, I am set free from, and if you're filling in the blanks, I am set free from my sin nature's control over me. This is the conversation or the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. I'm set free from my sin nature's control over me. The flesh, the things that I want, that I really want, the cravings of my soul, whether that's a biological craving, whether that's a relational craving. There are things that I want, that I really want. Things I need to get off my chest. Things, ways I need to express myself. Ways I want to experience my best life that are not actually good for me. And they're not in alignment with God's plan for me. And I'm set free by the Spirit's work in my life. Now, that doesn't mean that I won't ever struggle with sin. Christians struggle with sin. The difference is that sin is no longer in the driver's seat of your life. Jesus has come into your life, has come into your heart. The Spirit is right there with you, wanting to, that old line, Jesus, take the wheel. He can. Now, that doesn't mean that your sin nature is kicked out of the car. I wish it was. That'll happen when we're resurrected in a new heaven and a new earth. But the sin in our life becomes the backseat driver. It's still there, but it's yipping in the backseat. Blah, 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 blah. Take a right here. Blah, blah, blah. You're going too fast. Blah, blah, blah. I want to pull over. Blah, 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 blah. This is what I want. And the best part is, even though it's there, you don't have to listen to it anymore. And it cannot take the wheel away from you. It can just be yipping in the backseat. Blah, 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 blah. It's no longer in control. My sin nature's control over me. I've been freed from my sin nature's control over me, and I'm set free to, if you're filling in the blanks, I'm set free to be led by the Spirit. That the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, is right there with me, right there living inside of you, inside of me. Ready to give us guidance, advice, encouragement, strength, love, joy, peace, patience. You need more of that? Sure. Kindness. Faithfulness, self-control. So let's talk about the contrast between the flesh and the spirit. And that's actually where this passage is going. Okay, verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Maybe they're obvious. They're obvious to Paul, and they could be obvious to us. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. I had to look up debauchery. What is debauchery? It's a version of impurity. It's that God has given us these gracious guidelines for our human sexuality, and it's when we really, really want things that are outside of God's guidelines for our sexuality. And we live in a culture that tells us that when it comes to your own sexual expression, you have the right to do whatever you want. with whoever you want, as long as they're consenting. And it's possible, this is what this passage is telling us, there can be things, really strong desires inside of us. This is where, you know, it's hard to get honest, I suppose, but maybe this is these are things that you have felt and experienced, where we long for, want, even crave sexual expression that's not good for us. Second category, idolatry and witchcraft. Now, idolatry is when we put our trust in other systems and stuff and structures rather than putting our hope and trust in Jesus. Witchcraft, as best I understand it, is when we're putting our trust in substances to make our life complete. So we find ourselves putting our hope maybe in our money. Are we finding our satisfaction by how good we're doing at work? We can turn our work into an idol. Or my life would be complete if I just had a, and then it's, you know, whatever that car is, whatever that house is. My life would be complete if the Seahawks could just win another. That wouldn't hurt. That would be fine. But we can take things that are meant to be just parts of our life, and we can make them ultimate. We can make them the source of our hope, the thing that we place our trust in, the place we find our strength in. We can do the same thing with substances. I would be okay if I could just have another, whatever that is. And then we move into the third category, the more kind of relational categories of the acts of the flesh. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy. I will get my way, and I don't care who I use, who I hurt, and who I manipulate in the process. I will express myself without caring for how my self-expression affects the people around me. Then we move into another category, perhaps, of the acts of the flesh. Drunkenness, orgies. It's what I do to unwind. It's what happens in Vegas, and it stays in Vegas. See, there are things that I deeply desire and want that are longing to take control of my life, that want to take over. There's parts of me that craves things that are not actually good for me, that craves things that aren't good for the people around me, that craves things that God never designed me for. As we finish off the passage, it says, "See, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." That if we find ourselves just ruled by our flesh, ruled by our own desire, ruled by our cravings, ruled by our need to do whatever it is that we want to do, we could find ourselves distant from God. Or here's a concept, and here's one of the differences perhaps between American freedom and Christian freedom. Okay, I could have all the life liberty, all the rights of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and yet be living in absolute spiritual bondage. It is possible to have American freedom, and I hope you do, and I hope we defend it, and I hope it exists forever. It is possible to have American freedom and not have any freedom in Christ. That's where the two are different. And in fact, if we look at, you know, maybe the world around us, the country around us, we are surrounded by people who, because they don't know Jesus, aren't following Jesus, they have American freedom, but they're living in absolute spiritual bondage. Now, in the new heaven and the new earth, there will not be nation states. I mean, when Jesus comes, all the lines on the map get erased. Which is why there's only one book that matters where your name is. And I hope you are a faithful American until the day you die, but at the day my heart stops beating, what's in my passport isn't going to matter one lick. But if there could be, you know, if there could be, and I don't believe there is, but if there could be, you know, kind of nation states in heaven, and you look at the population of, you know, the American population in heaven, at the rate we're going, and with the people around you, the population of the United States of America in heaven, which, anyways, would be very small compared to its population here on earth. It is possible to have American freedom and yet be in spiritual bondage. That should motivate us. That should help us to think clearly about the issues of our time, or at least more clearly about the issues of our time. In the same way, it is possible, though I hope this never happens here, it is possible for people to not have American freedom and yet live in absolute freedom in Christ. You think of those, our brothers and sisters in Christ who survived communist China and the underground church where there's actually more Christians in China right now than, as far as we know, than there are in the United States. Even though a significant part of that, some of those things have changed over the last few years in terms of national policy and such. But people that don't have the freedoms we enjoy and yet in Christ are absolutely free. I hope you have both. I hope we treasure both. But we need to remember there is a difference between American freedom and what it means to be free in Christ. And in Christ, we are set free from our bondage to the flesh, our bondage to our own sinful desires. And we are set free for life in the Spirit. And that's what the next part of this passage talks about, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, the kind of things that starts to emerge in our lives as we are yielded to the Spirit with our life. This is the stuff that the Spirit of God wants to do in you and in me and in us. The fruit of the Spirit is, say it with me, love, joy, peace, forbearance, which is a fancy word for patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, for those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying one another. The good news, friends, is that you and I are offered freedom in Christ. I am free in Christ. Are you? If you've placed your hope and trust in Jesus as your Savior, if you've said, Jesus, I know that you died on the cross for me. You rose again from the dead for me. I know that you have fulfilled all of the righteous requirements of God. In all the ways that my life is broken, God, you are making it whole. I am free in you, regardless of what happens around me. This is a freedom that no one can take away. I am free in Christ. I am free in Christ. And of course, that has tremendous implications for how we feel about ourselves, how we self-define. It also has tremendous implications for how we do life together. Because not only am I free in Christ, and you are free in Christ, we are free in Christ. The local church can be a place where we experience that freedom. Where your past is forgiven. Where your future is assured. Where regardless of what you've done, there's a different pathway forward for you. Where together we experience the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, where things are changing inside of me, so that the sinful things in my life that I crave, I crave them less. And the good things in my life, I long for them more. Where I'm experiencing and you're experiencing and we are experiencing together greater degrees of love, joy, peace, forbearance, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. We're being changed by the Spirit from the inside out. There's no greater message than that. There's no greater life experience than that. To experience the transforming power of God in your life, do you long for it? I long to be part of that together. Would you dream with me? This is the question we've been asking every week in this series. Dream with me about the local church. What would it be like if this place, this one tiny little expression of the kingdom of God, this one little spot would be a place where people experience true freedom? Where addictions of the past finally get broken. Where the shame and the guilt that hold people down is finally removed and they get to see themselves and have people around them see them in brand new ways. Dream with me about the local church, because the local church is a group of believers who are following Jesus together. Where the desires of the flesh are being put to death. Where the work of the Spirit is being encouraged in our lives. Where the fruit of the Spirit is becoming increasingly evident in our lives. Dream about that with me. Do you long to be a part of something like that? I do, and the good news is you see it in the people around you. You see it in people whose lives are being changed. People who find strength, people who find new ways of looking at the world, people who start to see themselves in brand new ways. The local church is a group of believers who are following Jesus together. Let's pray about it. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank you for the hope that we have in Christ. Lord, thank you for the freedom that we can experience together as we follow Jesus together. Lord, help us to be so clear on what it means to be free in Christ that we can't be manipulated just by the cultural forces around us. Lord, enable us to live free, truly free. And if you're here today or within the sound of my voice, or you're watching online, or you're listening to the podcast, and for some reason you realize that you are distant from God today, I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a chance to reconnect. Even that simple prayer in your heart that says, Jesus, I need you in my life. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Make me a new person. I've got good news for you. He answers prayers like that. He brings forgiveness. He brings new life. He brings peace. Open your heart to him. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Make me your child. Change my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you can. Thank you that you do. And Lord, help us to dream together well about what it means to be a community of faith that embodies that kind of freedom. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Invite us to stand. Let's respond together in song. it out.
I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Yes, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Jesus. And I invite you to have a seat and invite you to take out your communion packets. This is one of the ways that we can be reminded of who we are in Christ. That you and I and we have been set free by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Of a Savior who loved you, loved me, and loved us so much that he would give his body and he would shed his blood. So that everything that keeps you out of relationship with God, everything could be dealt with once and for all. And all we need do is receive it. He's that good. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, as he was anticipating his journey to the cross, he was having a meal with his disciples. He took bread, he gave thanks for it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. It's given for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, a new promise between God and people. Do this. As often as you drink it, remembering me. That's why we eat this little wafer of bread and we drink this little cup of juice, because we don't want to forget what he did for us. And we don't want to forget who we are in Christ. We've been set free. We have been set free. You have been set free. So here's what I want to invite us to do. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer. Then I'd like you to serve one another. So you're looking somebody in the eye, and I can see you're positioning yourself. That's awesome. I love it. This is the best part of the worship service. It really is. We get to look each other in the eye, and we get to speak words like this. This is Christ's body given for you. And as you're partaking of the juice, you're drinking the juice, and somebody's saying these words to you, this is Christ's blood shed for you. Say these words to each other as you eat and drink. Lord, thank you for this reminder that you've given us. Help us not forget what it cost you and how much it means and how free we truly are because of it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Serve one another in Jesus' name. And I should point out, if you didn't get a packet and you want one, put your hand up. We will get one to you real fast. Right, serve one another.
Oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Let's sing that chorus one more time.
Who the Son sets free, always free indeed. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am.
Let's speak the words of the Lord's Prayer out loud together. And if you're, even if you're joining us online, wherever you are, speak these words out loud. We're going to declare our trust together as a family of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Have a seat just briefly. A couple of quick announcements. The first is I am not Pastor Paul. He wishes he could be here today. He apparently has the stomach bug or something like that, and he has graciously decided to not share it with us. So poor guy. Anyway, so please pray for Paul. If you've got any miracle chicken soup, just give him a note today. You can bring some over or something. Whatever you need to do. But a few things you do need to know. So our Thursday night, you know, all church dinner. Last week was the last one.
Boo.
But the good news is we're doing something over the summer. So summer supper Thursday. So the first Thursday of every month. In June, July, and August, we are going to have a dinner here. So the next one is the first Thursday in June. Okay, that's the first thing to know. Second thing, we got a yard sale coming up. That's also happening in the first weekend in June. You can bring your donations. It looks like it's going to be a fantastic yard sale. The when to bring them, all that stuff's on the foyer board. We have our annual meeting next Sunday. Everyone's invited to be a part of it. Members expect to see all the voting information, all that kind of stuff. It should be in your email. It's, you know, that stuff you don't check once a week. It's in there. It'll be there in the early parts of the week, hopefully tomorrow, assuming we'll figure it out. Paul and I will figure it out. So you'll get some stuff in your email shortly, and that'll give you a insight into all that's happening, but everyone's invited. You know, every voice matters. We'd love to have your ideas and involvement. Speaking of involvement, we are still looking for communion and usher volunteers. We're looking forward to doing like communion stations again. Why aren't we doing communion stations yet? I'll tell you why. Because we need like a few more people to say, "I will help serve communion." That's what's going to get us there. Okay, or like, you know, or you think, oh, we could help with more ushering. We just need a few more ushers so we can have a sustainable rotation. And yeah, so you can talk to Marsha with the communion stuff. Marsha, would you stand up, please? There we go. Yay! Our communion queen over there. Or communion, that's not really work. But she's in charge of communion stuff. And she's in charge of a lot of stuff. And she's just really sweet. So you want to talk to her. So if you can help out in any of those ways, talk to Marcia, send a note to paul@columbiagrove.org, put a note on the back of one of those connection cards, drop that in a basket, we will get the message, and we will follow up, and we'll figure it all out. All right, well, let me lead us in a closing prayer. Lord, thanks for this time together. Lord, we pray for Paul. I wish he was here doing this right now. Help him to recover quickly, and with whatever bug he's getting over, just, Lord, be his healer. And Lord, as we go from this place, Lord, may we go as people who are deeply rooted in who we are in you. Thank you for the freedom that we have, both as Americans, but especially as Christians. So Lord, help us to live free in ways where the people around us can see the difference. As your love, as love like Jesus is being expressed through our lives. As we serve one another. As our neighbors are glad we live next to them. As our coworkers are glad we're in the office. Lord, use us, we pray. Send us in and by and with your love. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, thanks for worshiping with us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.